Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, August 15th. Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange member KDNK in Carbondale filed an interview with 3rd District Congressman Scott Tipton. Yesterday, we heard part one of the interview about preserving Canyons of the Ancients and moving the headquarters of the BLM to Grand Junction. Today, we'll hear part two of Gavin Dahl's interview.
Moving on to healthcare policy with Congressman Scott Tipton, you've been consistent in your opposition to Obamacare and you voted for the American Healthcare Act. The Senate has not been successful in repealing or replacing. If it comes down to it, are you comfortable repealing without replacing?
I think that there are two components to this, which were not understood in the general legislation. You have the repeal portion of it, but when we get to the replace end of it, we need to make sure that the market's going to be stable, that there are opportunities for the insurance companies to be able to write policies. We wrote 3 companion pieces of legislation which could not be included in the bill that we passed, the reconciliation bill that we sent over to the Senate. One was to be able to buy across state lines. That passed through the House of Representatives. Second was association health care, to be able to provide, if you belong to a rural electric association, as an example, we have Tri-State in Colorado. That could be one large group which can drive down prices to be able to create that competitiveness. That passed through the House of Representatives. We passed through the House tort reform legislation as well, one of the major cost drivers that we've heard from our hospitals, from our doctors as well. And we also passed an important bill that whatever the American people have to live under, Congress has to live under as well. 4 important pieces of standalone legislation that went forward. So I think that that does need to be an overall package.
Shifting gears again, sir, there have been reports of ICE raids here in Colorado's 3rd District, but we still don't have a lot of details. Reporters around here feel like ICE is the least transparent government agency they cover. My question is, are you signed on to any legislation right now to address the rights of law-abiding undocumented people who work and raise their families in our neighborhoods?
We haven't seen any legislation moving forward that I am aware of. We are looking to make sure that there is transparency, that we're doing things that do abide by American law, and we'll stand up for individual rights, but also for American law as well.
You voted on new sanctions on Iran, Russia, and North Korea last week. Can you give us a few specifics, what outcomes you're anticipating from this approach?
You bet. We're hopeful with bills that we passed through the House this last week. First of all, when it comes to Russia, if there's going to be any termination or waivers in regards to the sanctions which have been put on Russia, there needs to be a vote by Congress up or down to be able to approve any sort of an adjustment to those requirements that are existing. Regarding North Korea and Iran, we're going to make sure that we're going to be expanding and enforcing sanctions on them in an economic way, to be able to deter the expansion of nuclear weapons and terrorism as well.
Okay, so in the past week, President Trump made off-color remarks in front of Boy Scouts, and then in a speech to police officers, he openly endorsed police brutality. His communications director pick only lasted 10 days and made his own share of obscene comments. House Speaker Paul Ryan said last week that Republicans in Congress shouldn't spend all their time defending Trump on the Russia allegations. As we've discussed here on KDNK many times, Congressman, you have plenty on your to-do list. Aren't you concerned Trump is doing damage to your party's agenda?
I'd like to be able to see our focus in terms of our issues that are important here at home. Here on the West Slope of Colorado, as we're all aware, many of us have not felt the economic recovery. That needs to be the focus. We've got tax reform that's going to be coming up to empower the American people to use more of the money that they earn to be able to create and to be able to preserve jobs. In my estimate, that does need to be the focus. We've had a lot of ancillary issues that have drawn a lot of media attention, drawing off the focus on issues that are important to people here at home. Out of our office, we're going to continue to be focused on getting those jobs created through the private sector here at home and addressing issues that are important to us.
Last question quickly. Any developments on having you in person in Garfield County for a town hall? KDNK'd be happy to help set something up.
Well, hey, I appreciate that. We're going to be out in our district, and we're going to be up in the Glenwood area. I know in the next week or two, I think it is, according to our schedule, and we may well take you up on that. I appreciate it.
Republican Scott Tipton represents Colorado's 3rd Congressional District in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for speaking with Community Radio.
Gavin, thanks for your time.
For KD&K, I'm Gavin Dahl.
The reintroduction of wolves into Colorado is currently illegal, but some wildlife advocates hope to bring the endangered Mexican wolf back to southern Colorado. Proponents of Mexican wolves say that they are an invaluable part of their ecosystem, helping to control disease and providing food and shelter for hundreds of other species. Eric Galatis has this story.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is narrowing in on a plan that would remove the Mexican wolf from the endangered species list and hand management over to states. David Parsons, a former Mexican wolf coordinator for the agency, thinks it's on the wrong path. He notes fewer than 150 wolves remain in the wild today, and all their genes derive from the last 7 wolves that existed before recovery efforts began. Parsons says breeders are doing a good job of increasing genetic diversity for wolves in captivity.
But the Fish and Wildlife Service is just not getting them into the wild in numbers that really make a difference, largely because the states are pushing back against releases.
Parsons says wolves are frequently seen as a nuisance by powerful livestock interests, and he notes the last time states managed wolves, their numbers declined by 24%. The new plan authorizes delisting after populations reach a total of 500 in isolated areas, but Parsons says the agency's own scientists say 750 are needed to ensure survival in 3 distinct but connected regions, including southern Colorado. Haley Hawkins with the Endangered Species Coalition argues that bringing the Mexican wolf back to Colorado would increase demand for wildlife viewing opportunities, which she says can be a big economic driver.
Mexican wolves are one of our rarest mammals and are treasured for their countless contributions to ecosystems and as part of our natural heritage. Folks want to see the Mexican wolf thrive, and federal management should reflect that.
Hawkins adds wolves are a critical player in local ecosystems, helping to strengthen deer and elk populations and control outbreaks of chronic wasting disease. The Endangered Species Coalition is among the groups delivering public comments to the Fish and Wildlife Service through its website, which are due by August 29th. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.